Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I was concerned. We had a lot of deer hunters I knew that would be gone and travelers out of town, and I thought we might be slim pickings, but we have had more than our fair share of visitors and have replaced more than our hunters. So good to see you all. Glad you're with us this morning. This morning I've chosen to speak about something you might think the timing is rather odd. The law of the harvest is what I want to talk about this morning. Whatever you sow, you reap. A farmer will tell you that when you plant corn, you get corn. If you plant potatoes, you're going to get potatoes. I know a lot of us here like to put a garden in, and can you imagine what it would be like if you planted potatoes and corn came shooting up? It'd be a little odd, wouldn't it? The law of the harvest tells us that whatever we sow, we will reap. And God has established certain laws, and this morning we're going to spend time examining how the law of the harvest impacts us. In the late summer, and I guess you'd call it early fall, we came to church one Sunday, and I remember looking out our front lawn here, and Mike had intentionally killed it. It was dead. Dead as a nail. If killing it wasn't enough, he burned it to make sure it was dead. And I remember coming for many Sundays and Wednesdays excited to come out and look at how that lawn was doing. I remember standing, I think it was on a Sunday, and looking out, and I think it was just like day four, day five, these itty-bitty looking little splinters of grass coming up. Just wispy little things shooting out of the ground. And before you know it, we had a beautiful lawn. Still beautiful to look at. This morning we're going to talk about three rules that apply to the law of the harvest. Rule number one, you reap in a different season than you sow. Number two, you reap more than you sow. And number three, you reap based on how much you sow. Take for an example a kernel of corn. Most of the time it's planted in the springtime. I know you can plant it other times. And it's harvested in the summer. When you think about that kernel of corn or details about corn, we know that it will shoot up a stalk. And on that stalk, you could have up to 3 years of corn. Sometimes less, sometimes more, but usually the average is about 3 years of corn on that stalk. Each ear can easily have 600 kernels, and I'm just using averages, 600 kernels of corn on them. So from that one kernel of corn, you could get 1,800 kernels, which would be 180,000% increase, just from that one kernel of corn. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, "For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Notice that the law applies to both good and bad. Both good and bad things this law applies to. We're going to discuss that this morning some more. In Job chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Even as I have seen, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble, they reap the same." Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, "For if you forgive men of their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men of their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you of your trespasses." Notice here in just a few short verses, we have examples of sowing both good and bad. With every word we're sowing, if we choose to be negative or unkind, we're sowing. If we use cutting words, demeaning words, we're sowing. If you have an attitude that's negative, you're sowing. Maybe you have an act that is misleading to others. It's multiplying out. You see, even when we choose our friends, we're in essence sowing. And we're going to soon reap the reward or the consequences of choosing good or bad friends. How many of you who are getting older can look back and say, that was not a good friend? We've all had them. Maybe at first you thought, oh, this is a good friend. Yeah, this is somebody I want to hang out with. They have common interests. And you find out real quick, whoa, not a good friend. Or you look back, and maybe you're looking in the audience, and you have a friend that you made at a very young age, and they're still your friend. Great decision. Great friends. In the book of Judges, we have the story of Samson, who made all kinds of poor choices early in his life. He chose the wrong friends. He chose the wrong wife. He went against his parents' wishes. They tried to tell him. He showed anger in numerous situations. He repaid evil for evil. He killed many of men unnecessarily, killed some necessarily. He spent time with a harlot, and the list just goes on and on of things that he did. On the other hand, unlike Samson, you could be sowing kind, good, encouraging words of time with God by sowing time in the Word. When we're in the Bible, we are cultivating a heart towards God. Every word that we read, every action that we do has the power of multiplication. That 180% increase I was talking about earlier with corn, one kernel, it doesn't just happen in nature. That's a scary thing. It's a good thing, but it's a scary thing. My question this morning to all of us is, do we understand that everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we think, every action has attached to it this power of multiplication? Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 talks about laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Why? Well, he talks about verses, treasures on earth. What happens to those? Thieves break through and steal. Things rust. The things that we treasure and spend time doing is where our heart is, that verse tells us. And where our heart is, we spend time sowing, and those are the things that we're going to reap. If you had a pie chart, and you looked at your pie chart, and you broke that up with time you spend, which Eric basically encouraged us to do this last week. Does anybody remember? He said, yeah, pull out your iPhone. You know how much time you're spending on your phone. If we had a pie chart, what does it look like on time spent? Time spent in the Word. Time spent with your brothers and sisters. Time spent privately with God in prayer. Versus all those other things. Remember when Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well? And they were talking. And she went away from that conversation. Let's read. If you want to turn with me, you can. I'm going to read a little bit of that story. Not that we don't know it, but just to remind us. John chapter 4. And I'm going to read verse 28 through 41, just a little bit of that story. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all the things I ever did. Could this be Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. And in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish the work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for the harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this their saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored, Others have labored, and you entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed with them there for 2 days. For many more believed because of his word. It tells us that the Samaritan of that town believed in him, that the Samaritans in that town believed in him because of why? Because of her testimony. It's where it started. She went out to go grab others and tell them what she had just encountered. The power of multiplication. We're seeing it right here in this story. It came from a very unlikely source. This innocent conversation at a well with a woman that most probably thought he shouldn't even be having. And what does she go and do? Tells many others. Many other Samaritans. One of the points that Paul is trying to get across to the Galatians, this should be our motivation on the one hand, that we should make sure we walk close to God because everything we do has a multiplying effect. And on the other hand, if we're thinking of walking with the flesh or according to the flesh, we should reconsider. He's quick to make those two points. If you're thinking about walking to the flesh, you should really reconsider. When we think about that one small act or that one thing that we said and we realize the huge rate of return that it can have, we should seriously consider our actions. Seriously consider our words. You might say, well, but Clayton, I've said and done many of things that I haven't seen results of. I planted some grass earlier in the year. None of it came up. Some of us might be thinking that very same thing. Well, remember, that's because we reap in a different season than we sowed. Sure, this grass out here came up in 4 days. That was pretty quick. But how many things do we sow that don't come up or we don't realize for many, many months, many years? Just because it hasn't happened yet, the seed is in the ground and we will reap what we've sowed. I've read where some people, I was reading and just looking at germination and how long things take, and it got me down a path, but where some people had planted a Persian violet seed, and it took up to 6 months for that flower to come up from the ground. That's a long time for a seed to come up and bloom. We know that sometimes things we say or Bible studies that we've encountered in can take years for those words to turn to actions. Years. Notice what he says here in verse 37. I'm going to go back to that. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I have heard Roger Wenawson and others tell me or tell the story about how Tom Woody and others made their trip and their trek to the Philippines, where they were spreading the gospel, telling many about Jesus. And you know, the one thing that Roger said in his story is, Tom never knew the people he impacted. After Tom died, he said, we had many of people that came forward, obeyed the gospel. And you know what he said? They said, that one guy that was with you, that came and preached, you mean Tom? Yeah. That's why I'm turning to Christ. Those words that were said many years before. You reap based on how much you sow. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. It matters how much you sow. The idea here is how much you sow, you literally can determine your harvest. Farmers determine their yield, and we determine our harvest. Have you ever really considered that we determine our own harvest? Have you thought about that? We determine when it comes to forgiveness. You say, no, that's not true. We determine our harvest of mercy. We determine the harvest when it comes to our friends. We determine our harvest when it comes to money. We determine our harvest. Whatever measure you use, it's measured back to you. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow generously, you're going to reap generously. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, for if you forgive men of their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. It's a simple statement. If we forgive others, our heavenly Father is going to forgive us. But if you do not forgive men of their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you of your trespasses. We can determine whether we're forgiven. We should get our seed in the ground as quickly as you can and get as much seed in the ground as you possibly can. We just need to make sure of one thing. Is it the seed that you want in the ground? The law of the harvest is true. Galatians 6 and 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Do not be deceived, it says. Well, you know, we're pretty good at deceiving ourselves. We're like experts at it. We can convince ourselves of a lot of things. The human tendency is to think, that's no big deal. It's not that big a deal. It's just one little tiny act. Oh, no one really cares. No one's really going to see it. This is just for me. It's not going to impact anybody else. Well, we're sowing seeds. We're putting down seeds that will produce. We shouldn't deceive ourselves. If we read on a little further in verse 8, it says, sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption. He's telling us that our actions have consequences. Not that I needed to tell you that. But our actions have consequences. When we sow to the flesh, what exactly is that? In Galatians chapter 5, and we know this well, but I'm going to turn there, and if you want to turn with me, Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are, we have this whole list, adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Huge list there. We get an entire picture of the list of actions and attitudes that we can have while we're sowing. Any and all of those things we do, we're sowing. What's going to be produced from those seeds? The amount we sow will determine the amount we reap. That can be a frightening and scary thing when we talk about the flesh. Paul wants us to consider these things. Notice what he says, when we sow in the flesh, from the flesh we reap corruption. Think about that word corruption, and I'm going to use a different word, spoilage. It's just my word. Spoilage or decay. I want you to think back to the last time you went out to eat. You had this awesome meal. You had so much of it. You brought home the leftovers. Some of you hate leftovers. That's okay. Bear with me. But you had leftovers and you put them in the fridge and you're like, I can't wait to get to that the next time. And you get busy and you have work and you eat out one night, and the next night you're with friends, and the next thing you know, it's like, oh, there's that food in the fridge I forgot about. And you go to open it up, and you're all excited because you remember how good that was, and it's growing black fuzzy something on it. You're like, oh, I guess we won't be eating that tonight. That's what I'm talking about when I say the word corruption, spoilage, decay. Those leftovers that get that nasty growing look and smell. Spoilage. Decay. You don't want to touch it at all. You barely want to get it out of your fridge to throw it away, let alone eat it. He is saying when we sow to the flesh, it diminishes and spoils our life. Do you doubt that at all? When you do any of those things that we just read about, it spoils our life. In John 10 and 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Jesus wants us to have life abundantly and to the fullest. If I were to ask someone in the world has no idea about being a Christian, what do you think Jesus means here about having life and having it abundantly and to the fullest? What do you think they would say? You think their answer is going to be our answer? Not at all. Completely, probably the opposite. You see, when we sow to the flesh, we are spoiling the life He intended for us to have. We're spoiling and ruining the things that should bring us joy, love, peace, and blessings. Have you thought about that? Seems great in the moment. Oh, this is going to be awesome. No. No, it's spoiled all those things He wants us to have. That abundant life. Those things that truly bring happiness, that bring true love, true joy, true blessings. I want to use an example here. I think most of us find vacationing fun. Most of us. Some of you may think camping is fun. Depends on camping, glamping, what we're talking about. But some of you find that fun. Have you ever said or done something in the week of vacationing or camping that you wish you hadn't? I want you to just think back to the last one. Don't even go back 5, 10, 20 years ago to maybe a horrific vacation. But just go back to the last time you were vacationing. Maybe it was you were out hiking. Maybe it was you were at a theme park. Maybe it was you were in a tent. I don't know. But you were tired. You were hot. You're cranky. And you lashed out. You said something maybe in the moment because you're all of those things I just said to your children. Maybe it was to your spouse. Why? Because I haven't eaten. I'm hot. I'm sweaty. I haven't even had a shower. I'm tired of these lines. I'm tired of these muddy feet coming in and out of the tent and dirtying everything up. This camper is just not big enough for all of us. Get out. Right? This is real. In those moments, we're sowing seed, and guess what? With a high yield. A high yield. And all of us have said it or done it, and we wish we hadn't. But let's not forget the law of the harvest. On the flip side of sowing when we wish we wouldn't have, let's think about the time when we can spend it in the Bible. Spend it with the Lord. That's the time where we welcome that 180,000% yield, like corn. Every moment we're walking with God or we're close to Him, we are sowing and laying down seed that's going to reap a harvest that we can look back on in different seasons and realize the harvest might be more than we ever thought possible. Have you ever looked back on something and thought, wow, I did not expect that? When we sow to the Spirit and walk with our Lord, as the harvest comes up, we begin to see in ourselves, our kids, our spouse, our friends, our co-workers, those around you. Galatians 6 and 9 says, And lest us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. This verse is a great reminder for us that there are times where we have prayed about something for someone, and we might not see the results we're looking for. That's happened, I'm certain, to all of us. I've prayed earnestly about this. I've prayed for weeks about this. And it's just, things aren't going like I thought. Well, the enemy of our soul wants us to realize or to think, it's just not worth it. He wants us to stop working, to stop sowing. He wants us to stop growing. He wants us to grow weary and well-doing. John Maxwell has a book, 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. Some of you may have read it, maybe like it. Some of the laws are really good. One of the laws is the law of the lid. I think it's right off the bat, if I remember, on the start of that book, the law of the lid. He describes workers as growing weary. Maybe their leaders are stifling them, or there's only so much capability, and no matter how hard you jump, no matter how high you jump, how often you jump, you just keep hitting your head. So guess what you stop doing? You stop jumping. I'm not gonna continue doing this. It's not got me anywhere. Bad things happen. That's what Satan wants us to do. Satan wants us to think, has that prayer paid off? Oh, you've been praying so long and it's just not working. You should stop praying. Has that person that you've been working with been converted yet? Oh, stop studying with them. Oh, is that family member of yours not turned to God? Don't bring it up again. Just let it go. Satan wants us to give up. He wants us to stop reading our Bible. He wants us to stop attending services. He wants us to stop growing for Christ. He wants us to give up and quit. Once we stop sowing, no more seeds go down. And guess what? The harvest is going to diminish. This will happen in our personal lives with God. This will happen in our kids' lives. It will happen in our spouses' lives. It will happen in our friends, our family, co-workers, all those around us. Because Galatians 6 and 9 says, we'll reap if, what's the if? If we don't lose heart. But if we lose heart, we stop jumping, we stop sowing. So this morning, and I know this is a pretty short and simple message, this morning I'm encouraging us to not lose heart. It's so easy to get disgusted and discouraged about what's going on around you. Do you go to work and you're just, it's discouraging. You turn on the news, ugh, I don't want to see that. 2 weeks ago, I planted some grass. Mike's lawn inspired me. I needed some areas to plant grass. You know, it would be pretty easy to lose heart. A, because my grass didn't look like this. B, after I planted it, it got down to like 19 degrees one night. Do you remember that real cold night? I was like, oh, great. There it goes. I take conference calls from inside my dining room, and I look out a lot just because it's pretty, and I get to look out, and I watch the FedEx guy drive down my grass. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Just keep it on the driveway. Now, right down my new grass. I'm like, fantastic. I look out and the birds are eating the seed. I mean, there's so many things that have been discouraging about my grass. But I want us to be reminded to not grow weary. It would be so easy to lose heart. However, I'm determined for that grass to take root. I've done some pretty crazy things. Watering it out of a pipe, out of the back of my truck, trying to baby it, cultivate it. It's so rewarding to see those little bitty blades of grass coming up. And then you see something like what's out here. It's beautiful. First it's a little blade, and then it's a green hue. You look out and it's not dirt anymore, it's this greenish hue. And then before long, you have a full lawn. We're not talking about grass today. Sure, it's what caused me to want to give this lesson. We're talking about our soul's salvation. We're talking about our family's salvation. We're talking about our kids and our grandkids and their kids' salvation. I'm going to close by asking a question. What seeds are you planting right now? Are you sowing to the flesh for temporary gain? Or are you sowing to the Spirit, which will last for eternity? I want us to consider those things. Think about what you're sowing. Think about the seeds that you're planting. And think about that amazing yield that can occur, both good and bad. I'll leave those words with you as we stand and sing.